Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own, to keep me near Thy side. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the book of the prophet Hosea, and are of the 11th chapter. Hosea chapter 11. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hosea chapter 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, and with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat upon unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they call them to the Most High. None at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Amath? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. Mine repentance are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. And I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, said the Lord. Ephraim compassed me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, and thou who hast created each and every one of us, and thou who hast redeemed thy own, and wilt redeem them even to the youngest day of this world, as thou dost continue thy work through the preaching of thy holy word, we beseech thee that thou wouldst look upon us in this afternoon hour, and when we are gathered round that everlasting testimony of which thou dost testify, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Oh, that it may also be felt in the life of thy own children. For when there is a word which thou hast spoken in truth in a personal way, then it is impossible that thou wouldst ever take it back. For thou sayest, hath he said it, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? O Lord, that thou may give in the heart of each and every one of thy own a little courage in the week that we have entered, a very special week within the Church of God, a week of preparation before that Holy Supper is to be administered in our midst. O Lord, thou knowest the troubles that can be in the heart of thy own. For so often do they fear that they are not one of thine, and that what is begun is but a work of men, and that it will end even as we have heard, apart from thee. Oh, to live apart from God is death. And then it is the fear that they also shall have so to live forever and forever. But Lord, when thou hast given in the heart that desire, that longing, that they may live with thee, that they may have something of that blessed and sweet communion, O Lord, then thou takest it not away. Dost thou make ashamed of the hope that thou givest in the life of thy own, that thou may remember them where that they are, the smallest ones that are born in Zion. They belong to thee, and thou hast called them by their name. O, that thou may feed them, that thou may lead them into all thy truth, and that thou may give them an eye to look upon thee, the Savior of thy church. O, that they may see something of the blessedness of that Mediator, who has stood between God and his people. O Lord, that thou may give something of the sweetness even in this hour, that we may taste that the Lord is good, and that thou may lead more and more unto thyself, that they may see thee, that they may learn more and more who that we are, and that we may see more and more who that thou art for thy beloved church. O Lord, we can read it in thy holy word. Then thy servant did say, my heart is inditing a good matter, and my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When thou wilt give it in the heart, then the tongue that shall also speak, and then it shall speak of the blessedness and the preciousness of that beloved Son of God. O, thou art fairer than the children of men. It must be made so in the heart of each and every one as we travel between the cradle and the grave. And Lord, thou knowest how large a congregation that we have grown to be. And yet there are so very few who are able to make such a testimony. O Lord, we beseech thee for young and old together, that thou may work with might and with power in the days in which that we are living with our children. Satan desires to take each and every one. O Lord, wilt thou be a robber of the hell, and that thou wouldst deliver from those from the pots Oh, that thou may give that young and old also in our midst could not let thee go, except that thou wouldst bless us. And do look upon us then in this week. It is necessary that we turn within. But Lord, then we can find nothing within us except death. Oh, that thou may give, that there may also be a looking without, and that there may be an eye of faith that is born of thee for the first or by renewal, that may hope in thee, that may trust in thee. Lord, that thou may so remember us, young and old together, and that new ones may be made jealous of that blessed portion of thy people, that they may see the good of thy chosen. O Lord, that thou may give in the hearts of many a new heart, a heart of flesh. We cannot give it to anyone, but this, O Lord, is thy own work. We beseech it of thee for the preaching of thy word, and that is foolishness, but the power of God that is in it, for the raising of the dead, for the bringing in of thy church, oh, to glorify thy most worthy and glorious name forever and forever. Lord, that thou mayst so remember us in this hour, could it please thee to give that strength that is necessary to bring thy word in this day, but also in the week to come. And wilt thou give that thy word may be quick and powerful. Look upon all those who are needy. Thou knowest the places that they occupy. Lord, that thou mayst supply for all the needs of this time. And wilt thou give that the afflictions of body and mind may drive us to the throne of grace, that we may find their help in time of need, and that the soul may be brought to acknowledge thy goodness, and that it may melt thereunder, and that it may be given to seek and to find and that blessed help for the need of our soul. And be with all those that suffer from addictions. Thou knowest also the struggles therein. O Lord, do help them. And wilt thou give the hands to war, and the fingers to fight, and the strength from above, and grant that true conversion, both to young and old. Look upon us, O Lord, help us. Be with us in this hour. Give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Give us to be able to take forth the precious from the vile, and that thy people and may hear clearly thy way, and that the riddles may be solved. O Lord, help us. Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high, and none else on earth can satisfy. Psalter 439, stanzas 3 and 4. Thank you. beloved congregation, next week, if the Lord may give it, then the Lord's Supper is to be commemorated in our midst. And this should have taken place already some time ago. We are not able, however, to do everything. And we hope that the Lord Himself may remember and feed His people. Before the commemoration of the Holy Supper, then there is a very special time. And that is a time we know of preparation. Why? That is not at the commandment of the church, but it is at the commandment of the Lord. Because the Lord of this sacrament does say, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That is not an easy matter, to examine ourselves. Therefore, it is not a matter for little children. They are not able so to examine themselves. It is also not something for those who are not confessing members, because all things we read must be done decently and in order in the church of God. Neither is it congregation for every professing member of the church. Although when we look at you, then it grieves our heart, because there are so many, both young and old. We may be here now for 12 years, and then we look and ask, O Lord, where is now the fruit? Is the Lord yet blessing the labors of our hands, the preaching, the reading in the midst of our flock? Oh, that the Lord Himself may remember both young and old and give to us a true concern while we are going through this world between the cradle and the grave. And not only for the things of this life, but that He may give us a true concern for the need of our soul. How long that the word may be brought among us, we do not know. We do not know our life. We do not know your life. We do not know also what the Lord will permit, as we see that the world does rise up against the truth in our days. And then it ought to make us concerned whether that we, while we are in the day of grace not only, but that the means are brought to us every Sabbath and every day again, that we are still missing the blessing. No, and the Lord's Supper, that is not for every professing member of the church. Why not? Because it is a spiritual meat. It is a spiritual drink. And then it is necessary that we have a spiritual life. And thus the examination must go within, am I His or am I not? And are those marks that we can read of in the Holy Word of God, are they marks that also can be found in my own life? The Lord's Supper actually is not always even for God's children, because they have also a walk of life that they must consider. And when there is a true estrangement between themselves and God's people, between themselves and the Lord, then it is also not possible to join in such a communion. But this may never be used as an excuse, but that we take care of those matters that are coming between one another and ourselves and the Lord. May the Lord remember us as a congregation and give to us indeed a week that we may go in to our inner chambers and that we may examine our own heart before Him for a little help. We wish to say a few words in this afternoon out of the words of our text which have been read to you from Hosea chapter 11 and thereof the first part of verse 4. Hosea 11 verse 4a. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. So far, the words of our text. The Lord declares His dealings with His people. First, He declares His drawing work. And second, He declares His relieving work. The Lord declares His dealings with His people. First, He declares His drawing work. And second, He declares His relieving work. Our theme, congregation, that is, the Lord declares His dealings. Why? Because it is not here, even within the Word of God. It is not here what a man is declaring about the work of the Lord. No, it is here declaring the word of the Lord Himself. Thus, it is the Lord Himself who is here speaking. And the Lord is saying how that He is dealing with His own people. Thus, they are marks that are coming out of the mouth of the very Lord Himself. And so we may certainly ask whether or not these are dealings which we know in our own life. What does the Lord say? He says, I drew them. That is the Lord's testimony concerning the salvation of His people. Where does the Lord begin, young people? What is the very first word? That is, I. That is what the Lord says. The Lord says, the salvation of my people that begins with me. That is where the beginning of the creation came from. The fall, man is responsible for. The salvation of the church, the Lord says, that is something that I have to do because it is a people who have fallen away from me. It is a people who are not able to deliver themselves. Did you ever experience such a thing? Then it becomes a wonder to us that the Lord says, I drew them. That the Lord says, I am the Alpha. I am the beginning. I am the first one. O congregation, there is our hope. That is the hope of dead people. That is the hope of those who are in despair. Are you also ever in despair? Have you come and gone for many years to the place of the holy? Do you say now that the Lord's Supper that is to be administered once again in our midst, and I am 40, I am 50, I am 60, I am 70 years under the preaching of the Word of God, and I still miss what I need? Do you then despair of it? Hear the very first word of our text. That is your hope. Go then into your inner chamber and bring this before the Lord and say to the Lord, Lord, it does not begin with a man. Say to the Lord, how wretched that you are, how deeply that you have fallen, how hard that your heart is, how far that you have departed from him, all the love of your heart unto the world, that you cannot break that hard and that stony heart, and say, O Lord, Lord, it is thy own word. I drew them. The testimony of the hypocrite, that is, I have done this, I have done that. A congregation, what begins with man, that will also end with man. The testimony of the Lord is I. The testimony of God's church, do you know what that will be? That will also be the testimony that the Lord gives. The testimony of God's church, that is going to be the same, that they are saying, O Lord, then that did begin with thee. David, he says, he sent from above. He drew me out of many waters. He took me out of an horrible pit. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. Oh, it is the testimony of the Lord that becomes the testimony of the true church of God. And if this has never become our testimony, then do not come to the supper of the Lord. What did the Apostle Paul say? He says, oh, I have lived in good conscience before God until this day. Oh, congregation, it is good. Everything that we are doing, we do not say that we must not use the means of grace. The Apostle Paul, he also used them. But what did he have to say? He had to say that from his side, with everything that he had done in his life, his religious life, where did it all end? Then he had to say that I was, we heard it this morning, that I was alive without the law once. With all that he did in his religious way, he remained alive. All his religion, he had to say, that did not bring me one step closer unto the Lord. But then the Lord came. And when the Lord came, when that law came, then sin revived, and then I died. And so you see how God's people and the testimony of God's people, that is going to be a testimony that is going to go along with the very testimony of the Lord himself. I drew them. What is the basis for this drawing? We read here, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. What does the Lord speak about? Children, you know that the children of Israel, they were in the land of Egypt. And the Lord, he speaks in this chapter about the time that he called his children out of the land of Egypt. That was according to what? Boys and girls. That was according to the promise of the Lord. Because the Lord had spoken about that deliverance a long time ago already to Abraham, when he said to him, know of a surety that thy seed, they shall be strangers in a land that is not their own, and they shall be afflicted there 400 years, but that nation will I judge. And afterwards, he says, I will bring them out. And so there is nothing that is haphazard about the dealings of the Lord with his people. Nothing haphazard, people of the Lord. every one of those dealings that is according to his eternal decree. There is nothing that is happening by chance. There is no peradventure in the life of the true people of the Lord. All decreed from that never begun eternity. And where is it grounded? When Israel was a child, then I loved him. There is the foundation of all the dealings of the Lord with his own people, that from that never begun eternity, he has loved that people. And even when they are born into this world, in that state of death, in the state even of wrath, still the love of the Lord that is upon his people. His eye is upon them. There is not one of the people that is able to perish before at that time that the Lord is coming to deliver them out of that bondage of sin. When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Calling, that is the first thing, that is the first dealing that is experienced in the life of God's children. Their calling. When does that happen? There is an outward calling, and it happens under that outward calling, but here it speaks especially about that inward calling. When does that happen? That happens actually at the very same moment as regeneration. When the Lord, he is plowing up that fallow ground and he is making a place for that seed that it can fall and it can enter and it can go down into that ground. A calling. I called my son out of Egypt. How is that experienced? Children, does your mother ever call you? And when she calls you, then she calls you to come, right? She calls you to come from the place where you are, away from that place. And she calls you to come unto her. That is calling. That calling, we can read how that the Lord called Samuel. 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 He called. It was so gentle. It was so very personal. For Samuel, then he actually heard his name. The Lord called him in an audible way. That is not so when the Lord is calling his people, and when the Lord is calling them in a spiritual way. And yet, the experience of this is no different. It is no different as if a person had heard their own name. Because when the Lord is calling, then his word that is coming unto me, in a very, very personal way. Oh, how gentle is the Lord, but also how personal that the Lord is. David says, thy gentleness hath made me great. No, the Lord, he does not always do it exactly the same. And yet every one of his people, even a Saul of Tarsus, when he is stopped there in the way, afterwards he will have to say that thy gentleness hath made me great and called my son out of Egypt, called to come away from this place. Thus the soul, when the Lord is calling away, then he is experiencing something of a loosening. The Lord at the same time loosens the bonds which connect that soul unto the world, so that a person sees his waywardness, so that a person begins to say, where am I? What am I doing? Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? When you wake up in the morning, boys and girls, then it takes perhaps a few moments, especially if you have woken quickly from a dream. And then you have to reorient yourself and you say, well, that is not where I was. I am actually here in my bedroom. When the Lord awakens you from your death sleep, then you also will begin to ask those same questions. What am I doing in this world? Who has made me in this world? To where am I traveling in this world? He is calling. Oh, then you feel that the Lord, he is saying, away from this place. No, that is not always the same. Because then as a person is going over this world, then sometimes one day that it can be, he seems like he is so engrossed in all his labors in this world. Oh, then it seems like his heart that is so fully in it. And then suddenly, when he is riding in his tractor perhaps, and then he sees the clouds in the heavens, and then suddenly that word that is coming back to him, and then he is hearing that again, that the Lord is calling him away from this place. It can be that he is even struggling against such a calling. And because, well, our heart that enjoys so much this world, we are ever lovers of vanity, we are ever lovers of pleasures in this world, and that it can be that a man is even trying to push away at that calling of the Lord. But do you think that you are stronger than the Lord is? Or it can be that a few conscience prickings are also seeming as a calling, but then they are going away as that seed that is upon that hard ground plucked away by the birds of the air, and then it is gone, and then a man, he is going his way in this world. What is the difference with that calling of the Lord? Well, that calling of the Lord, though it is not the same every day, it is still coming back again and again and again, because the Lord, he is not letting his people go. No, the Lord, he will show himself to be stronger than they are, and that his work and his calling is an irresistible calling. No, there is no winning against the Lord in this thing. The Spirit of the Lord, even as the Son and the Father, that is the Almighty God. And then that calling, that Spirit with that calling is following them to every single place, maybe young people even into the theater. But when sitting there in that theater, then that word of the Lord is coming back again and again. Oh, perhaps that you have to run out of that place. Oh, it is following into the alehouse. young people, so that you may have all your friends around you and they are laughing and talking about all this world and your heart that is crying and the Lord, He is calling away, away from this place. Oh, David, he experienced these things. He says, whither shall I go from thy presence? He says, whither shall I flee from thy spirit? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Oh, when the Lord is calling, there is nowhere in the whole world that a man is able to escape that irresistible calling of the Lord. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. How I drew them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. What are the cords of a man? Then he says here that he compares his people he compares Ephraim to an heifer, he says, that is taught, an heifer that you try to teach and you put a rope about him and you have to force him and you have to pull on him. But the Lord, he says, I do not have a rope like around a beast. No, he says, my cords, they are the cords of a man. What does a man have above a beast? He has a mind. He has a soul. He has a will. He has the affections, that is, his soul. And now the Lord, he says, I draw them with such cords. They are the cords of a man. He does not just step over that mind. He doesn't step over those affections and that will to force a person. No, but the Lord, he is making that will, renewing that will, to draw that will unto himself. Is that what you say is missing, young people? Is that what you say is missing, God's people? They love the Lord. They love the Lord. And I do not. I love the world. We heard it this morning. Can you make yourself love another person? Can you make yourself love the Lord? Whose work is this? To touch the affections. That is the work of the Spirit. To touch our affections and to make our heart to love Him. And when our heart that loves Him, then it is not to pull as to force a person. No, but then it is to draw him. He says, I drew them with the cords of a man. Oh, then he is humbling such a person. Then he is breaking that heart. He is softening that heart. He is melting that heart. He is making that heart to cry out after the true and the living God. He is humbling them under a sense of the goodness of the Lord, and that they may weep under that goodness, how they have left the Lord under all of the gifts and under all of the blessings and under all of the callings. And then the heart that is going out after the true and the living God, the cords of a man with the bands of love. The Lord, he complained of the church of Ephesus. He says, thou hast left thy first love. Oh, that first love. Let our young friends who are just married, let them say something of what that was. That first love. The first love is especially a love which is drawing away, because there is love for father, there is love for mother. And the Lord has made that love. You say, what can possibly break that love between a father and a mother and their child. What could overcome this so that a man would come together with his wife? You say someone that they hardly know. They know their mother and father for 20 years. And they love them dearly. What can a first love that can overcome this? And the Lord, He compares that love that He gives in the hearts of His own children in that very beginning, to draw them away from that world, that heart that has loved that world for 10, 20, 40, 80 years perhaps. 100 years old, we can read of a man who was converted by the Lord at 100 years old. That love for the world, you say, that was so ingrained in his heart. But the Lord, He has given unto him another love, a love to draw that heart of that man away from that loving world unto himself. Oh, the Lord makes himself so dear unto the life, unto the heart of his people. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart that cries out, my flesh cries out after the living God. They are the first workings congregation. Oh, do we know something of the very first workings? The love, the drawing of the Lord. The Lord is so good. The service of the Lord is so good. The law of the Lord is so good. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, yea, sweeter even than honey and the honeycomb. That is now the experience of those who are drawn with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. Let us sing. Psalter 118. 1, 2, and 3. As thirst the heart for cooling floods, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Thank you. the Lord declares his dealings with his people. First, his drawing work. Second, his relieving work. And why do we say his relieving work? Because we read here, "And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws." What is that? Well, he compares himself to a compassionate farmer who has compassion on his animals. Do we also, farmers, have compassion on our animals? They were used here for hard labor. A yoke was placed upon those animals, and they had a burden. They had work to do. But now the farmer who had a heart for his beast, he would sometimes give that that beast may rest, and he would lift up that yoke from off the jaws, that it was not pressing. He would remove that bridle and the halter, and he would allow him some rest, and that he may eat. "And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws." What does that mean? Thus, where did the Lord deliver his people from? We know he delivered them from the land of Egypt. And what were the children of Israel doing in the land of Egypt? Later on, we can read that they said themselves that they were sitting by the flesh pots, that they were eating bread to the full. Thus, when the Lord, he would deliver his people Israel, that is the way that he found them. And when the Lord will deliver his own people in this world, then he finds them in the same way. It may be that he finds them in the way of religion. It may be that he finds them in the way of the world. But do you know what he does not find? He does not find, even if it is a religious people, he does not find a people that are truly seeking him. And the Lord, he calls his people, but we spoke something about that struggle, because that world that has such a large place in the heart of a fallen man. And you know what is often necessary? That the Lord, he is placing a yoke on his people, that he may deliver them from those worldly bonds. He will help them. Do you know what we read of the children of Israel? We read, "And that there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." What was the Lord going to do? Well, the Lord was going to lay a yoke upon his own people. He was going to lay a burden upon his own people. Why? Oh, because he was going to call them. He was going to call them away from that land of Egypt. But then he was going to help them, that he may help to break the bonds that were there in their hearts with that land of plenty, that land of Egypt, to break the bonds with the flesh pots. And so it is often necessary that the Lord, he is placing some affliction, some trial, some tribulation on a person, that they may become tired of this world, that they may see the vanity, that they may feel the emptiness, and that the calling of the Lord may have a heart that may receive it away from this world. But even if such an outward burden is not necessary, yet a burden, a yoke, is placed upon that people. How? Well, the Lord makes that people to labor under that burden of sin as a heavy burden, as a burden that is too heavy for them to bear. What does David says? My iniquities are gone over my head. They are a burden, he says, that are too heavy for me. My wounds, they stink, and they are corrupt. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly, David says. That is a yoke that cannot be just thrown off from the shoulders of that people, because if they could throw off that yoke, oh, then they would do it. Even as Christian Bunyan's Christian would try to do that in that city of morality, or in some other way to try to throw off that yoke. But the impossibility, do you remember what Pliable said, children? Pliable, he said to Christian, he says, let us mend our pace. Let us go a little faster. Oh, that is what the Lord Jesus says is the way of that stony ground here. It is something that is coming up quickly. And when Pliable says, let us mend our pace, then what does Christian say? He does not say, I do not wish to go faster. No, he says, oh, I cannot go as quickly as I would wish. He says, by reason of this burden that is upon my back. No, that is not felt the same each and every day, but it is returning again and again. Oh, Lord, remember not the sins of long ago. Oh, remember not the sins even of today. That is a burden that they fear sometimes will sink them into Tophet, will sink them into hell. Oh, are there not those also in our midst that do say, oh, I am so afraid that after all that I thought I had experienced in my life, oh, that sin that I cannot rid out of my heart, that I cannot rid out of my life. I am afraid that it is still yet going to be my ruin, and that I will have to be forever and forever outside of that blessed communion with the Lord. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. What does that mean? Oh, that speaks about relief. It speaks about some relief from that yoke. No, that does not mean that that farmer, he takes that yoke off of that animal and that that yoke is never coming down on that animal again. Oh, but that yoke that is lifted off of those jaws just for a little while. And that does not mean that that burden of sin, that burden of guilt, that is never coming back in the life of that people, that they never have to carry it again. No, but there are seasons, certain seasons, certain points in the life of God's children, or a time, a point, that they can speak of, congregation. It is a time that is not as other times in this life. When someone said, do you remember this? You said, no, I have forgotten that. Do you remember this? No, I have forgotten that. Children, there are some things in your life you do not forget. Do not speak about someone who loses their minds, of course, but there are things that you do not forget. They are things that are very special to you. They are certain seasons especially of gladness. Maybe there is, boys and girls, a very special birthday that you remember in your life. Or a very special time that you received a very special gift. This is that season. This is that time that we are speaking about here, that the Word of God is speaking about. It is a relief, a season, a point, a moment of relief from that burden, from that yoke that the Lord is placing upon them. What is that relief? There is only one relief. Our catechism that says that there is one comfort in life and in death. The Bible says that there is one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and that there is salvation in none other. Thus, when it speaks here about this lifting of the yoke from the jaws, then it speaks about the relief that is through the hope of that blessed Son of God. That in some manner, we do not say what manner, that in some manner, because the attributes of Christ, they are so varied and they are so multiplied, and the works of the Lord, they are so personal. But in some manner, the Lord is opening up something of that way of free and sovereign grace. That He is saying, in some way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That He is directing the eye out of that covenant of works that we have heard of. And that He is directing that eye out of His holy word unto that blessed, that new covenant. Oh, we will not say exactly how the Lord is doing this. We will not tie, as it were, the hands of the Lord. But congregation, one thing we may do, that is, we may say what the Lord says. What is it that will be experienced in that moment? How will it be felt in the heart, in the life of the people? It is written here, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. That is the way that it will be experienced. The Lord will connect His own name, the name of His only begotten Son, with the most blessed experiences of the relief from that burden of sin, of the deliverance of sin, that was exactly the complaint of Pharaoh, and it remains exactly the complaint of the devil himself concerning the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Ye do make the people rest from their burdens. Oh, that is the relief, and that is experienced in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No, not that we say that it is a continual relief. Not that we say that that yoke that is never coming back again upon that people. But the psalmist, he said, my sin is covered. And that for that moment, then that sin of that people, that is covered. And the Lord is showing here how that is it is experienced in the life of His people. What is now felt? What is now tasted? What is now sensed in the heart of that people in the relief of their burdens? Or do you think that such a relief that will be forgotten? Will it not be the desire of that people that they say, O Lord, wilt thou return? Children, younger, older children. Maybe you go to work still. Maybe you go to work already. Already. You labor in the day. You labor under the heat of the sun. Maybe you have to take the weeds out of the garden. And what are you waiting for? You work from 8 in the morning till 10, and then you get a little relief. And you say, oh, that felt so good. And you have to go back to work. And what are you waiting for? You say, I want to work now all day with no relief. No, no, but you say, I'm waiting for lunchtime. I'm waiting for break time. I'm waiting for the day to come to its end. How do you think that is in the life of God's people? And when they have to bear that yoke their whole life long, and then they are waiting, and they are looking, and they are saying, oh Lord, show thyself through the lattice. Give me a little relief, a little lifting of that yoke from off of my shoulders, that I may feel something of thy grace next week. Next week, the Lord willing, the Holy Supper of the Lord. Congregation, we need to know something. Are we a complete stranger of these matters? These are the dealings. The Lord, he says, this is the way that I am leading my own people. These are the things that they will experience in their life. And we have come only so far. We have come only a little ways. Why? We do not need to go further. It is a week of preparation. Is it necessary then for a person to know the assurance in the court of their conscience that they may be able to say, he is mine and I am his, in order to rightly commune at that table of the Lord? Oh, they are blessed matters. And they are things, God's children, they will desire so to know and to experience. But those things are not necessary to know in order to rightly celebrate that Holy Supper of the Lord. You say, what is now necessary? What must we know? Well, then we must know something of the lifting up of the yoke from the jaws. That is now the point. Something of the lifting up of the yoke from the jaws. What does that mean? Well, that means naturally that we know the yoke too, doesn't it? But do we also know a moment that that yoke was lifted off? Does that mean that those who have never experienced the lifting of that yoke, does that mean that they are outside of the kingdom of the Lord? Does not mean that. It does not mean that. Because there are those that are in the very beginning, and they may experience something of that drawing. The children of Israel, they were in the land of Egypt, and the Lord, he begins to call, and he will deliver them out of that land of Egypt. There is a little baby in your house, children. We have said that before. When there is a little baby in your house, does he have a right to sit at your table? Say, yes, well, kind of, he does. He has a right to be there, right? But he does not sit on a chair because he cannot sit up yet. Mother keeps the baby in her arms. And does that baby eat from the table? You say, no, the baby can only drink milk. That is right. That is right. And that is what the Bible says. There are such, they have need of milk and not strong meat. They are not able to eat that meat yet. Why? The Lord, he is drawing them. and they experience something of that calling of the Lord. They experience something of the love of the Lord poured out in their soul. Oh, they are drawn to the Lord, His day, His institutions, His people, to everything that has to do with Him. But you know what they cannot eat yet? They cannot eat yet that meat. They cannot eat yet that meat at the table of the Lord. Are they one of God's children? Well, how do we know that? How do we know that? Because there was not only Christian, but there was also a pliable that came out of the city of destruction. When they were both walking together, you could not know that yet. And Christian could not know that yet either, the difference. He did not know the difference between himself and pliable. But that difference that became evident, do you know where pliable never came? He never came to the wicked gate. Christ was never revealed. Christ was never made precious unto him. Thus there was never that burden, that yoke, and there was never the lifting up, because it was at that gate that that yoke that was lifted up off the jaws of Christian, at that gate, was not taken off. He asked, "Can you take off my burden?" He said, "No, you'll have to wait." That happened later. But there was relief. There was relief, and there was a joy. Oh, there was a rejoicing in the Lord, even though that burden that has come back. Oh, congregation, we cannot know it yet. When we only have experienced something of that drawing, then it may be right, but we still do not yet know. We need to know the truth of it by the revelation of that blessed Son of God. And then it is better that we wait. Then it is better that we wait until that time that blood and that body, the meat that is given to that church, that has actually been revealed and become precious unto us. But congregation, when we are not strangers of this lifting up, that lifting up of the yoke from the jaws, if we are not strangers of this, in and through the only begotten Son of God, and if between God and our soul, then we have to say that this has become meat and drink unto me, then it is better that we do not wait anymore. No, because then to wait is to deny what the Lord has done. And then to wait is to bring darkness in our own life. O congregation, the Lord make us young and old concerned for the need of our souls. Together we are traveling. How long? We do not know. Together we are traveling to a great eternity. Young and old, are we not so careless? Oh, give that also in this week now. You say, "I do not know it." Oh, then that may become your burden. Say, "Oh Lord, this is now what I need to know in my life. If it will be well with me, boys and girls, you are not too young. You are too young to come to that table. But you are not too young to experience these things in your young life. How long can it be that we go on with all these children? With all these children, and there is no accident, and there is no serious sickness, and there is no child taken away from us. How long, boys and girls, can we expect this to be? Oh, also children, one day we will have to bring down unto the cemetery. Yes, children, the table that is not for you, but the matters, oh, ask the Lord to take your heart, your young heart, and to call you. Oh, that you may hear the word of the Lord that is saying, away, away from this place, away, away from this world, that your thoughts may return unto your Maker, that you may remember him in the days of your youth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast brought us through this hour. Lord, we ask of thee what is necessary for each and every one of us in the week to come. O, give us a little to lay aside the things that are able to wait, and that our souls may truly meditate upon thee and upon thy word. Send thy convicting spirit, thy convincing spirit, among young and old to draw with the bands of a man and with the cords of love. Wilt thou remember thy children? Take away the riddles and do give to them the desire to eat and to drink once again of that hope that shall never make them ashamed. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 163. O Lord my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face, within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. And what follows 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 163. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.